Welcome to mit dem Pamela. Welcome to.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of
In Response,
a legacy podcast.
I'm Philipp Klein.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
And today we've got a very, very special guest for you. The Legacy Showcase Challenge winner from last Sunday, Manuel Danninger.
Hello, yes. Everyone.
So, how are you today, Manuel?
Thanks, I'm fine.
Can you tell us something about the challenge? How did you... how have you chosen a deck and a little bit of a tournament report? So, was it the first challenge you've won, or have you won several? Or?
Yes, it was the first in Legacy. So I played Rug Delva. I guess it is a pretty similar list from the other ones. And most of the time I played the Mirror Match. I guess it was 11 rounds, and in the 11 rounds I played, I guess, 8 mirror matches.
So how did you prepare for the mirror then?
To be honest, I didn't really prepare for the Legacy Challenge. So
okay.
I pick a list and it seems fine to me in the meta, and yeah, it looked cool and played it. So I guess
it looks like a pretty standard list.
Yes.
But what I want to know is, if you say you haven't prepared for the challenge, if I'm not mistaken, you need special qualification points for this challenge. Am I right?
Yes, you need 40 qualifier points.
And so how did you get them then?
To grind. Magic Online.
You get them with other formats, or are they
yes.
Legacy only?
No, I play every format, like Standard. I play Modern. Most of the time I play Modern.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays I play Legacy and choose the Rug Delva list to win the Legacy Showcase Challenge.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Awesome. Thanks.
What was the price pool then?
I guess I get around 700 ticks.
Okay.
Well, that's
so
pretty good.
That's not bad. No.
Yeah.
It's pretty fine. Yeah, I guess it's $600.
And did you qualify for another event by winning this? Or is this
no,
just
only
one
for the showcase qualifier, yes.
Okay.
So you have another tournament to prepare for?
Yes, I guess
a few
it's
weeks
in,
or months?
In August.
Okay.
But I don't know the exact date.
Mm-hmm. Is it also Legacy?
In Legacy, yeah.
Okay.
You only can play the format in which you qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So Legacy Challenge, you play the Legacy one, and Modern, you play the Modern one. And
okay.
I guess in the finals, there are between 15 and 20 people. So there is another qualifier, but it's not like the showcase.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 5-round event where you can qualify with 5 wins, so the final one is, I guess, with 20 people.
So, what was the incentive to use the qualifying points for the Legacy Showcase Challenge and not for another format?
Yeah, let's say Modern.
Yeah, why did you choose our format, if I can say it like that?
Because it was the only day I have time.
Fair enough.
So
that's
fair
a good
enough.
Reason, yeah.
I really would played every other format because I have so many qualifier points, but I don't have the time to play so many events. So the Legacy one was on Sunday evening, so it's a nice time for the Austrian ones.
I mean, I think it was up to 2 a.m. or
2
hours after midnight or something
It starts at 5 o'clock
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Austrian time and ends on 3
okay.
in the evening, so
mm-hmm.
pretty long, I guess 9 hours.
And you started working on Monday?
Yes. So it was a very, very short rest.
Yes.
Oh, that's okay for winning 700 ticks.
I mean, if you get into the top 8, you are qualified. So that means if you play up to midnight, and then you know that you are qualified for the qualifier. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty okay.
So everyone who made top 8 qualified for the finals.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I think it's rewarding if you play, I think it was 8 or
yeah.
8 rounds, and then if you're top 8, that you can get at least some reward.
Yeah,
if
sure.
the other qualifiers are from winning 5 or going 5-0 in a smaller event.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, winning a showcase challenge is certainly something that a lot of Legacy Magic Online players would love to experience. So, what was your feeling when you have won the finals versus the is it Delalist?
I can go to bed.
yeah, that's the first one. Yeah, finally can go to bed. And the second thing was nice 700 ticks. So why
nice.
Not? But I guess it's like a RPTQ or it's a PPTQ because in the final event you can qualify for the Players Tour finals and for the MOX, and that's what all want to do
sure.
at Magic Online, to qualify for the Magic Online Championship.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why the events are pretty cool.
And was this your biggest accomplishment from a tournament perspective-wise, or have you done greater things in the
Paper play. Yeah, we was top 8 at the World Magic Cup 2014 with Team Austria, and that was my personal biggest win, and I got some lost in GPs to the win at ins, and some top 16s and top 32s. HGPs.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's
yeah.
Few good results.
So,
let's talk about the list a little bit, I would say, right?
No, I just want to know at first, how did you...
Go ahead.
How did you have chosen the deck? I mean, was Ruck always your first...
pick?
Your first pick, or did you wanted to play something else at first?
No, at first I wanted to play the Eldrazi one.
The Stompy? Eldrazi Stompy? Or
no,
the big one?
The big one.
Big Eldrazi, yeah.
Big Eldrazi.
What I played in other events in Legacy, because it's pretty easy to play for me.
Mm.
But then I scrolled around in the internet and see some lists, what's be good, what's be not really good, and Eldrazi isn't really good at the moment. So I picked up the Ruck Delver list, what I really prefer, and I chose that and picked that.
Yeah, it seems most or many others also chose Ruck Delver, as we see in the meta game.
I think it's about 30% Ruck Delver.
So it was probably a really good choice.
So why is Ruck Delver the best Delver version then?
In your opinion, what stands out from Ruck
Delver?
Let's
say compared to, I don't know, Grixis.
I wouldn't say Grixis. I would say
is it Bug or Blue Red or is
Blue
it
Red or?
Yeah.
No, because I guess it's the Oko. Oko is a pretty strong card, and also the Tarmogoyf. The Tarmogoyf is also pretty strong in the mirror and against the UR list. So I guess it's also in my opinion, the mirror breaker, because the UR list doesn't have the removal spells for the Goyf.
You can only maybe bounce it.
Yeah,
but it's not enough,
a removal, and you play it every turn, and he can handle a 5-6 or maybe 4-5 Goyf.
Yeah, he can't even handle a 3-4.
Yeah,
that's still the problem.
Yeah.
It's not boltable, and
I also choose the Delver because you have a good combo matchup what is, in my opinion, pretty important in at Magic Online, because
combo decks are rampant.
Many players play combo decks.
Yeah, I think in these type of tournaments, the combo decks are a little bit less
underrepresented.
Yeah, they are underrepresented in comparison to the leagues. I think in the leagues there are a lot more combo decks because it's much faster to grind with them and to play multiple matches at the same time, because you don't have to struggle with the clock. So I think in the challenges there are a little bit less, but combo is well positioned right now.
I guess as we've seen, there was 1, 2, 3 combo decks in the top 8.
Combo deck, it was Omnitel and Doomsday.
Okay, just for the for anyone who hasn't seen the challenge results. The first three places were Ragdelver. Then the fourth place we have Doomsday, then Omnitel, then a very, very spicy Dredstill. Then on seventh place, a Snowco. Is it Snowco or is it...
Yeah, it's
called Snow Miracles here, so...
And then also...
I think it's Snowco. And on eighth place, it's Timur Ragdelver again. So we've got four Ragdelver
in the first
top eight.
Yeah.
And then it's very, very diverse, actually.
Mm. Yeah, then we have Focalalome. I think this is an Esper Vile.
That's Esper Vile, yeah.
Then Goblins, another Ragdelver, Bugdelver, Esper Vile, and Mono
Red Painter.
Then
also Elves and
Elves.
And 18th place, we've got a Titan Dryad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then Ninjas from Tugores. And 21st, it's a spicy list. Then.
And back to the 24th place, there are also two more Ragdelver lists. So certainly a lot of Ragdelver. And Snowco is almost nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
So you said you played...
8 times the mirror.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess in the 6th round I played against... Reanimator, which was, I guess, a pretty good matchup for the Timur Delver deck. And the 3rd round, who I lost against the Bugdelver.
Mm-hmm.
And in the, I guess it was the first top 8 match, was against the Azorius Standstill deck.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, I also won, but it's... was a pretty tough one because I don't know his list. He plays the 12-12 artifact creature.
The Phyrexian Rattler.
Yes, the Phyrexian one. And attack with the Tarmogoyf, and he immediately flipped it and jumped into the 12-12. But not so awesome, but did manage that.
Yeah.
So
he bounced back.
Yeah.
In the match.
For sure.
Okay, let's talk about a list.
Yeah.
I think we have it here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing the 19 lands. The 4 Delver, 3 Dreadhorde Arcanist, 2 Hooting Mandrels, 3 Tarmogoyf. Then for sure the Brainstorms and Ponders, 1 Preordain as cantrips, 4 Lightning Bolts, 4 Force of Will, 2 Force of Negation, 4 Daze, 2 Spell Pierce, and a single Chain Lightning, which will come back later. 3 Oko Thief of Crowns. And in the sideboard, we've got 2 Abrade, 1 Grafdigger's Cage, 1 Clothless God of Destiny, 1 Null Rod, 2 Pyroblast, 1 Red Elemental Blast, 1 Rough Tumble, 1 Submerge, 2 Surgical Extraction, 1 Sylvan Library, and 2 Winter Orb. So, what did you like and what what did you not like about your list?
So we can start with the card I didn't like. It's the 1 Chain Lightning in the main deck, but we can discuss this later. I guess it's a pretty long discussion.
That's okay.
So
why don't you like the card?
Because I don't think you need it.
Okay.
It's sorcery speed, and in the mirror match, the opponent have the opinion to the option to redirect the chain lightning. So maybe I want to add one more creature, maybe, or some other kind of
spell.
Spell.
Yeah,
like Brazen Borrower we speaking. But I guess you need to test it, because all other lists play the Chain Lightning, so I added two.
Lists 1, 2 and 3 from the style, and Triosk also played the one of Chain Lightning.
Yeah.
With various threat options. But this was common between all lists.
Actually, I can understand
the chain lightning,
yeah, because back when I played Death in Texas, I had a path to excel in the sideboard, because sometimes you just wanted to have the fifth removal spell, or like in this case with Ragdelver, sometimes you think you need the fifth burn spell just to burn your opponent out. I'm not a Delver expert, by far. I've only played mono blue Delver, which is a very, very fun deck, but I can see why you would want the Chain Lightning in the main board. It's still the second best burn spell ever printed.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the old blue-red Delver lists with when Dreadheart Arcanist became first legal, I think the list, if you remember correctly, played two Chain Lightnings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to Dreadheart Arcanist, there were only the four lightning bolts as burn spells. So I think I see the comparison to the old lists, and I think the one Chain Lightning is just another, maybe a relic from the list, but I think
that.
It's just as Philip said, it's another burn spell you can use to close up the game, because something that Delver always struggled with the bug version was to close out games if the games go long, because you don't have some hasty dudes. You need the burn spells, you need the lightning bolts to top deck with Rag Delver or Blue Red Delver, and this is no option for a Bug Delver. So I think it's good to have a fifth removal spell, and it's just something, because you have the Chain Lightning. When the opponent plays something like Surgical Extraction, you have another piece of burn in the deck that is not removed. Even in this case, it's really, really minor.
But I guess the Chain Lightning is in the deck, my opinion, to keep the board clean from small creatures.
To attack with Arcanist.
Yeah, but I guess against bigger creatures like the 5/5 from the Bug Delver. The Gormag Angler, the Chain Lightning does nothing.
So the Brazen Borrower,
when you change the Chain Lightning to Brazen Borrower in the main deck, you can
bounce it.
You can bounce it, and maybe you can win matchups when you bounce the 5/5 where you got the Chain Lightning, you can't win.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion, why maybe the Brazen Borrower or something else, maybe Whippersnake is better than the Chain Lightning.
Okay, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, about the Gormag Angler, if you have the burn spell in hand, you can burn the Gormag Angler and then attack with the Arcanist, and with that you burn the Gormag Angler.
Yeah, sure, but
it's
that depends on the
board state and everything else.
And the Brazen Borrow is a threat too.
And it's
what's
more
flying.
Versatile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's great against depth, so
having
a main deck answer versus Mart Large is certainly not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he has the Oko, but
Oko's still sorcery speed,
But the Brazen Borrower, as you said, against the 2020 token, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So another change, what I would make is maybe to cut one fetch land for an island.
Yeah.
Like in this meta.
That's
so
almost
many.
Heresy here.
Yeah.
I can smell it.
Yeah.
I mean the style who lost in the finals to you played it. And Yeah, let's talk about the matches you had against him.
Yeah, I guess I played against him in the Swiss rounds, and every time he turned one fetch on an island, a basic island, my wastelands are pretty busted in hand, but are pretty good at turn one, but there's no covered island, turn one pretty fucked me.
It really got you, yeah. I think, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Back since when, before Renan 6 was printed, I always thought that you needed a... No, it was in the Defrat era, I think. Back when Defrat was legal.
Yeah.
I discussed with a friend of mine, with a friend of us actually, with Andy,
mm-hmm.
Who played Ragdelver,
mm-hmm.
and during that time, how to make this deck better. And we also discussed the one-off island for the Hydro Blast, because also Red Prison was very rampant because of Jackpile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you often just lose to a turn one Blood Moon if you don't have anything.
Mm.
And so you can still fetch for
a basic
and have the Hydro Blast for the Blood Moon and then just play your lands,
yeah,
as given.
Mm.
So I can certainly see that change, and it's probably a really, really good meta call to play this one off island over the fetch. Yeah.
Maybe it's also time to adapt as a Ragdelver player and play the island, and maybe it becomes common and everyone,
yeah,
has to play it, and it shouldn't depend on the meta to play it, because
yeah.
I mean, if Delver and Wasteland is underwhelming and Day's Wasteland as a deck is not good in the meta, you maybe can cut the island then.
Yeah.
But as long as Ragdelver is good in the meta,
yeah, in the mirror is
in the
great,
in the mirror island is one of the best cards you can play, because it's good against Wasteland.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a really, really good change.
So what did you like then about the list? These were two changes you would make if you can.
I mean, we discussed that you don't like the chain lightning or you want the basic island, but
mm.
what are pieces you maybe want now in the main board? I mean, you said the Brazen Borrow is...
Yeah, I want the Brazen Borrow in the main deck. I guess you need it against some decks like the...
The depth matchup,
yeah.
I guess to have one answer against this, it's pretty good.
Yeah, the good thing is it isn't dead against other decks.
Yeah,
because it's still a good tempo card.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's a tempo card, a 3/1 flyer.
Yeah.
With flash.
With flash, yeah. And I guess in the main deck, I would change something else.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
What I personally really like about your list are the two spell pierce.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
These are really good in the meta right now.
Yeah, I think besides Dreadhorde Arcanist, they hit Oko, they hit just so many things. They hit the 3 mana Teferi,
mm-hmm.
They hit all the combo pieces like Doomsday, or just so many things.
Mm. Another cool thing, what you can do with the spell pierce is to counter the front side of a Brazen Borrower.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It doesn't go into the exile, and you counter the effective
both sides, yeah.
Yeah. And this is really, really good. And I think I've seen one list, I think the number 3 Ragdelver list played spell snares instead of the spell piercers. And I think these are just relics of the past. I think it was right in the Renan 6 area,
yeah,
to
yeah.
play spell snare over spell pierce. But I think at the later periods it was not true, because you wanted to hit with the 1 mana counter spell also Oko.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
then was the tag team between Renan 6 and Oko, and I think you had to hit both. So I think, I mean, maybe you want to hit in the mirror Tarmogoyf. I see that,
yeah,
but I think Oko is just too good. I mean, you hit Tarmogoyf and Dreadhorde Arcanist, but
that's about it.
That's about it.
And you don't hit the Oko.
Yeah. And the spell pierce can hit the counter spells, the brainstorms. Yeah. You hit so many pieces. The lethal bolt or something like that. It does so much.
Yeah, it's much more relevant in Legacy in general.
You can do much more. And how did you like the Clothis? I think you bought it in the Rock Mirror.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I bought it in against every matchup I played.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I played the mirrors. I played against
Buck Delver.
Buck Delver. There is the Clothis, pretty good because he got the Baleful Strix and the Clothis drain every turn.
Mm.
And I also bought it in against the
Standstill
deck. And also against the reanimator deck. Maybe it's too slow, but
okay.
I guess if you counter the first one, the Clothis maybe can excel something.
Yeah. And I mean, it isn't... I think there are cards in the deck that are more dead than Clothis in the matchup.
Yeah, it depends what you can bring in.
I mean, you bought in the Gravedigger's Cage, you bought in the Surgicals.
I mean, Clothis alone is surely not enough against the deck.
Yeah,
but
you have you have the two force of negation
with
and
additional
hate.
There are so many cards you don't want against these matchups. So
Oko is just way too slow.
Yeah,
and I think there is Clothis. It's just the same with how is it called the green disenchanted can exile something.
Yeah.
Return to nature.
I mean, it isn't fast, but sometimes it's just enough. And
yeah, for sure. And it's another answer to his graveyard.
Yeah.
And it's a threat, it pressures its life total, or it accelerates you another threat onto the board.
Exactly.
Yeah, for me Clothis is more of a mid range style card.
Definitely.
So
but it's really strong.
I would also board it in versus Reanimator probably if I have enough to board out. But for me it's not really graveyard hate. It's a piece
of threat.
Yeah,
it's
a threat and
that does maybe something.
Yeah.
For me it's more like a Sylvan Library.
Type of card,
Yeah.
It is resilient and slow.
And
it
accrues card advantage over time.
And constant
and
reliable.
Yeah, but it's really often you counter his turn one reanimate spell and then he sucks on lands or sucks on something and the creature is in his graveyard and you play the turn 3 Clothis, turn 4 exile his creature and win the game.
Mm.
So that's pretty
often.
It can
be enough, yeah.
I think it's just a fourth piece you can draw into. And I think you have enough disruption to support the turn 3. I mean, if it does go off on turn 1 and you have no force of will or force of negation, then...
Sure, you lose.
But I think if you have a spell pierce to protect on turn 2, you should get the W.
Yeah, sure.
And then Clothis will win on turn 4, effective.
Actually, now, when I see the list, with 8, 10, 12 counter spells, and two surgicals, a Clothis, a cage out of the side...
It should be a win.
It seems like a good matchup, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough for the reanimator one, but...
Yeah,
actually...
The clock is also not that bad.
Yeah. You, with reanimator, I made the... So, what's it called?
A tournament.
No, not tournament. When I played reanimator, I always felt that I simply couldn't win through three pieces of disruption.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if there's a counter or eight or something, but if you can win through one, you can also win through two, but you simply couldn't win through three, and so many counters and so many hate is just probably enough.
Yeah.
For the Clothis to seal the deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And another thing is it's just a Delver deck, so you you naturally have something like one fret and one or two counter pieces, yeah, and or one counter piece and one hate piece in the starting hand, and with that,
yeah, sure,
it's really, really hard to win. And even if he wins on in game two on the play, you win definitely in game three. I mean,
yeah. Would you change anything in the sideboard?
Yeah, maybe want to cut one winter up.
Okay.
Maybe for a second submerge.
But what if snooker decks would rise again?
Yeah, if they rise, maybe you can
next
the two winter orbs, but in my opinion, a bad matchup can be better.
Mm-hmm.
So why you want to make a bad matchup better?
Mm-hmm.
If you lose, then the other
anyways,
really good matchups.
Yeah, you lose then against maybe probably other good matchups where you can have the one sideboard slot for.
I mean,
and I guess you lose against the Snoko or band control anyways.
Yeah. I mean, a thing I can see is to upend the counts of the Clovis. Because I think Clovis is
two.
I think you could play two.
I think I would play a lot of Lavery, but I'm not sure.
Because Clovis is just really, really good in the matchup. Because he deals with the Uro if the opponent can't reanimate it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a threat they can't deal with because nobody plays. I think the only deck that plays Consonant Judgment is Death in Texas.
Yeah.
And this deck isn't really seen anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Snoko is too slow.
And Snoko is too slow.
Yeah.
And if you jump away on the graveyard, it's really, really hard to reanimate the Uro.
Also, the life drain from Cloth is
the life draining
really,
is
really
hard
strong.
To.
Yeah,
and if you deal with their Okos with Pyroblast or something like that, and you can ride the Cloth is to the win, it should be easy. And if you connect once or twice with the Delve of Secrets, the life total is pretty low. I mean, they gain a lot of life via Oko or maybe Uro, but they can't reanimate Uro because you have resolved the Cloth is.
Yeah,
and because of his indestructibility, and he won't be a creature, because I think does he need five or six?
Seven, I think.
Seven.
So you need Okros, Tarmogoyfs, Hooting Mandrills, and Dreadnought Arcanids. I mean, you need five out there.
Yeah.
But it's like one Okro and two Goyfs and one Hooting Mandrills.
It's possible, but pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
And I think then, if you have that kind of board presence, you have already
probably very far ahead. Yeah. And also, Snoko just has the 1/1 clock, so.
Yeah.
And Clothis could
unless
be enough.
Unless
they
have Oro,
yeah. But yeah, that I think the Snoko matchup is really, really hard to play and to evaluate.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely lose the long game because Delvar is a worse card in the long game to draw than an Uro or something like that. But yeah, maybe you can go a little bit under it and then have the sustainability to win a game on average. But I think this will always be a really, really tough matchup to play. And it should be pretty even. Something like, I think nowadays you are like 40-60% with Delvar against Snoko. It's not a 20-80% matchup, but I think you maybe can go with the right side, but up to 50-50 without losing too much on the other.
Yeah, but I guess the second winter up doesn't make the matchup 50-50.
Nah, definitely not. Yeah,
I mean it slows down the Uros, but that does Clovis too, and he pressures the life total.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking of Euro, what do you think about trying Euro in Ragdelver?
I guess we need to try it, but I guess there's some space to test it to add one additional land and cut one spell for one Euro maybe. I guess too much.
It's too much, yeah.
I would I think mean, you would the mandrels.
Yeah, the mandrels are the problem.
Need to,
with
yeah,
it.
You need to cut mandrels. Maybe both mandrels. Maybe for one Uro and for Tamagoyf.
Yeah. Then it's still a problem if Dread of Darkness does exile too much.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I mean, as we talked before before recording the episode, Dreaded Arcanist is a big lightning rod for Delver decks nowadays. So maybe he doesn't even... I mean, you said, I think,
yeah,
you didn't get us...
In the 12 matches, I didn't cast a card with the Dreaded Arcanist. So
it just got immediately nuked.
Yeah.
So maybe playing Uro with Arcanist isn't a problem. So, yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be evaluated and tested out.
Sure.
But
maybe the bigger problem is to get 4 mana.
Yeah.
So it's tough against the mirror with Wasteland.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe you need to play a second basic, and then it's a problem with Daze. Because you bounce your lands. So yeah, you need to try it. So
yeah.
Maybe
it could be a sideboard card or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean I mean it was in Miraclis or in the early days of the band control after the printing of Oko and Uro that you played one additional land in the sideboard, something like that you play like the basic snow covered forest in the sideboard and 2 Uros or something like that, and against slower matchups you board it in.
Yeah.
So maybe it's something like that you
actually
need.
Yeah, I would just try it because rules are there to be broken, and
sure.
Yeah,
I think
why not?
There is one month to the finals, so maybe
you could test it out. Yeah,
I could test it, and maybe
and
you
crush the
Uro
meta with a sick rack Delver list with Uro.
Yeah, probably could happen.
Could happen
before.
Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely some space to evaluate with lists. And because not every piece has its own place.
Yeah.
And not everything, but a lot of pieces can be changed. I mean, Forces, Brainstorm, Ponders,
yeah.
Delvers
yeah,
can't be changed to the Delver list. But but maybe something different.
I think we've talked enough about the list. Were there some interesting plays you did during the tournament or some interesting plays your opponent made?
Yeah.
Something that sticked in your mind and really got you off guard?
I guess it was in the quarterfinals. My opponent plays Wasteland on my only land, and I played in response Lightning Bolt
and
my land.
That's nice.
Opponent, yeah, was a pretty good one.
It's a nice play, yeah.
So, but the other plays are pretty similar.
Have your turn one Delver, flip it, and turn it sideways, basically.
I guess I flipped the Delver one time, turn one, because I played the Brainstorm.
And then it
in my upkeep.
Wow.
But otherwise the Delver doesn't flip.
Wow.
So
still usually if you win such an event, it means that you had
really good Delver luck.
Good Delver luck, yeah.
Yeah,
enough blind slips.
But
yeah.
I guess the best cards or the best card in this deck who wins a lot of matches was the Oko and the Goyf.
Mm-hmm.
What in my opinion are the best cards in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the Dreadhead Arcanist is normally in Delver decks the best,
yeah,
but it's a lightning rod, so
it
doesn't feel like it,
yeah.
But if you can attack once or even twice,
yeah,
with the card, it's...
You're just too far ahead, your opponent will probably never come back.
Yeah,
yeah.
But as a lightning rod, it's perfectly fine. So, yeah. I mean, Goyf and Oko are just really, really good magic cards throughout. I mean, not throughout magic history, but Goyf definitely throughout
but for
history.
Sure, in the mirror matches, when the Oko resolves, it's pretty hard
to come back.
Yeah, to come back for him.
I mean, you need the Pyroblast. to deal with it.
Yeah, sure, after boarding, but...
After boarding, but pre-board, the Oak adjustments.
Yeah,
he does way too much. Definitely, because every creature your opponent plays is smaller than Tamagoyf.
Yeah, the same as Goyf, yeah.
Because Goyf is normally like a 4-5 or something like that in the matchup, or even a 5-6.
Yeah.
Or 4-5, I think. You get land creature, instant sorcery.
With the Oku, you can, of course, get 5-6.
With the Oku. But yeah, you need to counter a Planeswalker or an artifact.
Sure, but
I think
it's big enough.
Yeah, 4-5 is
it's
bigger than a 3-3.
Mm-hmm. Bigger than the Mandrills also.
Yeah, bigger than the Mandrills. It's definitely
it's the biggest
point.
Creature.
And have you felt that the Mandrills and Tamagoyf split hindered the two cards? Because it was a long time ago a real number to play Mandrills and Tamagoyf
yeah.
in the same list because of the Delph Claws.
The parasitic nature.
Yeah.
I think not, because your opponent also has a graveyard.
Yeah.
What grows the Tamagoyf. So, and the Tendrils, the Mandrills, sorry.
next episode, I'm in response. Ragdale with Tendrils of Agony.
Ragdale. You play so many fetch lands and waste lands,
yeah.
that fill your graveyard, that you exile with the Mandrills.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
So, I think to playing both in the deck, the right one.
Yeah. I mean, I think this was in the time too where maybe Defrat was still legal.
Okay.
With
yeah.
the graveyard was
yeah,
a little bit
smaller.
A little bit smaller.
Yeah. But I guess
about
I like the split with three Goyf, two Mandrills.
Yeah.
Maybe you can add the fourth Goyf
for instead of the third Oko.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's.
But the Oko.
I think Oku is stronger than the fourth Goyf, so
yeah.
I would
stick
with the Oku.
If you say Oku resolved Oku wins the game in the mirror, and you have like in this meta game 30% Ragdelver in the top 32
to play three Okos.
Yeah, definitely, but yeah, maybe the Goyf, but I think three Okos is really, really good to go.
Yeah, it really depends on the meta game. So,
yeah.
So now with winning the Showcase Challenge and you're qualifying for the next big step of
the qualification channel to the Max.
Yeah, to the Max. How do you which deck do you see yourself preparing and playing until then? Do you want to change the archetype, or do you stick with Ragdelver?
Or wait 2 weeks and see what the meta does.
I guess that's one reason to wait until 2 weeks before the event to see how the meta is shifted. But I guess it depends on the Ragdelver or on the Bugdelver list. If Ragdelver is heavily played, like in this event, I want to change to Bugdelver.
Okay.
Because it's a much better matchup.
Yeah. Baleful Strix is
Baleful
just
Strix,
a bit
yes,
and
the
Gormagangler.
Gormagangler, and you have Abrupt Decay, what is pretty strong.
Mm. You also have the Okos.
Yeah,
push.
You have the Okos. You have all the cards, but in better versions.
Yeah.
With Black, you got.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to reach. That's the only
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
You only lose the lightning bolts
and the chain lightning.
And but you get Abrupt Decay, what is better against the counter matchups.
Mm-hmm.
You got Fatal Push, what is better against the Tamagoyf matchups.
Mm-hmm.
But you lose the Clawfish on the sideboard.
Yeah, and you lose the Dreaded Arcanist.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure, yeah.
But as we said, the Dreaded Arcanist
is a lightning rod.
Yeah.
It dies to literally
everything. Yeah.
But if he stays,
that's
it's
a 1/3, and we say it dies to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, back then we said that for 2/1s or 3/1s that literally dies to breeze. But now we've got a 1/3 that dies to everything.
I mean,
yeah,
but we have push, we have bolt, we have source.
Yeah, you need to.
You need to
remove him as
and
soon as possible.
Yeah.
It will
yes.
take over the game for sure. But it's just so crazy in my mind if I think of it.
Yeah, it's just that.
So if you're now waiting the next 2 weeks, and don't decide on a specific deck or a specific archetype, will you just play a commander or EDH then?
No, I don't really like EDH because it's a don't really funny format. It really sucks, in my opinion. So I don't know what you said, guys.
But no, I really, really love EDH. No, it's the same for me. I don't really like EDH. I don't like a political aspect in a competitive card game. So, yeah.
Actually, I also can't see myself playing 100 cards. I play with double sleeved with hard sleeves. And yeah, I've got big hands, but my 60 card deck is almost as high as a
100
as
a commander now. And if I double sleeve a commander deck, I'm the second person to shuffle my deck. So
I mean, I play triple sleeved legacy decks.
Oh, nice.
You're kind of a freak.
Or like the quadruple sleeve deck from this Daniel Wong.
Taking turns deck, yeah. but that's a piece of art.
But imagine EDH deck with quadruple for these sleeves.
Oh my god. I just don't want to
imagine Battle of Wits with quadruple sleeves.
Nah, but actually, I just don't like the nature of Commander.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the 100 cards, it's the... it's forced casual. So if you don't, you can't play a fully optimized version without being hated out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding of it. And I would play always a fully optimized version.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that you have to do in Commander to enjoy it, I think, is to play combo decks that win on turn 1, 2, or 3, maybe. But if you do that every time, your opponents will now play only counterspell decks or hate decks against you, and then you don't have any fun either. Because if you win on turn 1, 2, or 3, the other three guys don't have any fun.
Fun is a zero sum game. It's the same in Legacy.
I mean, it's just a game that would everyone enjoy if everyone plays the 6-mana 6/6 trampler that was reprinted in every standard episode.
Colossal Dreadmaw.
If you are that type of Jimmy player that plays Colossal Dreadmaw in a competitive card game, then you enjoy Commander. But
probably.
But not
I
in any
somebody.
Other way. So we got our point. EH, we don't like it. okay.
So back to Legacy, back to a more relevant format for us. do you see anything wrong with the meta or with the format now? Do you think Legacy is in a healthy state, it's in a good state, it's in a fun state, or do we need any bannings? Or do we just think we need some unbans? I don't know. Have you thought about something like that?
As I said before, I don't play much Legacy.
then you should change that, yeah?
So, but I guess...
Maybe Rakdelver is too strong.
I mean, we have 30% Rakdelver, and I think...
But it's just that one challenge, yeah.
But I think in the first few, the meta game is pretty balanced. No?
Yeah, I think it's a good cycle now. We have fast combo in the meta. We have various brewer decks.
Brewer decks, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at the challenge on that one on, I think, Saturday, it's from Drake of Firewing,
mm-hmm.
A fellow painter's brewer. And he won with Blue Red Painter the challenge. This is a really, 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 really wild deck.
Okay, I see it.
If you look at the artifact count, it's one Lines of Diamond, one Lotus Petal, one Mischa's Bauble, one Mox Diamond, two Mox Opal, one Urza's Bauble, two Arkham's Astrolabe, three Grindstone, one Soul Guide Lantern, one Ensnaring Bridge, and one Bowler Citadel. It's a
oh
really,
my god, that's spicy.
It's I think on Reddit they counted it as ultra spice, even though it won a challenge. I mean, it's really, really spicy.
It's full spice. It's ultra spice.
And
it's California Reaper hot.
And yeah, it's just an amazing accomplishment from him.
The
list is really wild.
I love it.
It's a beauty of a kind. And if we see such decks winning a big tournament like a challenge, and I mean big, I think this is the challenge with at least 32 people in it, and mm-hmm. it went 5-1 in Swiss and then won the challenge. Mm-hmm. So it went 8-1. And I think this is really good that spicy decks can do that. And I mean, for most of the Legacy players, Legacy is not really the ultra competitive format to play. Most of these guys are playing Standard or Limited, I think, because they prepare for the Pro Tour.
Yeah, if you want to be a pro, then
you have to
certainly Standard and Limited. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And if such brewers like Draco can win with such various lists and brewer lists, it's a really, really good sign for the format. That means that you can be competitive with whatever you are comfortable playing with and whatever you can do. And I think that's good for the format as a whole. That shows that no deck is way too prevalent in the format. Maybe the best deck is weak against blue red wild painter.
Yeah, the only thing I can see is without any incentive to play for the high stakes for the ultra competitive versions, people will often just register what they deem fun.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think that at the moment in the Legacy meta, it's not really skewed towards competitiveness. It's more skewed towards fun, and I think that's why we aren't seeing as much Ragdelver in the leagues,
mm-hmm.
or as much Snowco in the leagues.
Yeah, I think in the leagues there are a lot of grinders that play reanimated versions or something like that, or depths versions, because they are fast decks to grind with, and if you're good with it and go 4-1 nearly every league, you can get a lot
of money,
money with it. And if you double, triple or quadruple Q, it's amazing. I mean, it's not as much as the poker players back in the days.
Nah, for sure not. But
they played 16 tables at the same time.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I think it's a healthy meta game now. I mean, there are a few Anfang cards to play against, but I think one point in Anfang cards are something like Grizzlebrand or something like that. And I think we will get used to playing against Oku.
Probably. I still don't like it, but we will see how the meta shifts, how the meta evolves, and we'll see if it sticks.
Yeah. And one thing is that nowadays, it's in the last few printing, it's not like the big cards like Oko or something like that, or Uro or Arkham's Astrolabe that shape the meta really, really, really big. It's some small things like Eldosaurus Shepherd, with Nathan Lipetz, and I think went undefeated in the Swiss round challenge and
went fifth, I think.
Fifth, I think he lost in the quarterfinals in the top 8, but he played it in Elves, which is an upgrade to an existing archetype, which I really like. Or something like Storming Entity, which now has the mono blue version of Delva coming out of the dark, or improving existing blue red Delva lists, or Blue Egg Delver experimenting with it. Maybe Blue Egg Delver goes back to the list they played before. Yeah. It's just the same thing like who was the one mana, 1/1 flyer that could become a 4/4 flyer.
Terramander.
Yeah, it's just experimenting with a new card and I really,
I really like that. It's great. Also, experimenting with Entity is really cool.
And if you're a Forager, it's just...
Yeah, if you're a Forager, it's also very great. I played the Mono Blue Delver list from Nathan Lippitt.
Yeah.
I think he played it also in a challenge.
I think he played it in a challenge, but didn't went that far. I think he had a 2/2 and fall out of the challenge. Something
yeah,
like that.
I think.
I think he won. He went 5-0 in the first two leagues.
He
went 10-0.
10-0.
Yeah.
And I tried it in the Friday Night Magic tournament, and I went 3-1, and it was a hell of a blast to play. So.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Aetherid Forager is really, really good. It makes a really, really good Dreadnought Arcanist impression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Certainly not as strong as the Arcanist. But it fills the same role. And Entity can be a really, really strong threat.
Yeah.
So you've got a very...
You get a nice
heavy mono blue list, and it's certainly something new and something nice. And I also think when there's so many new decks being brewed in the format, then it's a sign that it's probably healthy.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is good.
That's a good wrap up for our episode today.
Today we are not forgetting the
We're not forgetting our links and our Twitter handles. So you can reach out to us on Twitter @response_legacy. You can find me on Twitter @finnekmtg. That's PHINEKMTG. And for my co-hosts, you can find them on Twitter
@FlyingDelver.
And for me @UnicornLord with the O in the Lord is 0.
And of course, thank you for Manuel for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. You're
Our first guest.
You also stream.
And you're our first guest, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can add me on Twitch on Manuel_Deninger on Twitch. So
we will also, of course, put the link in the description of the episode.
Where you
can find the stream.
And I think wrap it up here. Thanks for coming to our episode and
see you.
Any last words? See you.
Thank you.
We thank you. And in response,
we're
the
out.
End.